Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who show is this?
Another part of this thing too, Harrison, I think it's really interesting we're having this conversation right now, is Adam Silver drags his feet so that he doesn't have to punish the Clippers by taking their top five pick this year.
Do you think he's just hoping that people are going, like, something big enough is going to happen that people are going to forget?
It's the Veep thing. Did you watch Veep?
Yeah. No, he's like, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe Tom Hanks could die.
Exactly.
I shouldn't say that. Toy Story 5's dropping right now. Like, that's I'm sorry, Tom Hanks. I hope you live forever.
Yeah, but like the aspiration thing, I think here is worth mentioning, because if cap circumvention goes relatively unpunished, and cap circumvention that is as obvious as what the Clippers attempted to do with Kawhi Leonard without getting caught, if that goes unpunished, then this conversation becomes even more intriguing, right? Because at that point, NBA players can just be like, yeah, sign me to the minimum and I'll plant a shit ton of trees. We're not getting punished.
I'll do one ad for the fake company that you set up.
Right. You know, and so, like, this is where I think, you know, the state of the league is called into question here too, because if Jalen Brunson can have a better roster built around him, then like Austin Reeves is going to have built around him when they make relatively similar money, with Brunson being a better player than Austin. Like, if I'm Rob Pelinka in the Lakers specifically, if I'm Mark Walter and I'm like, hey, we're the Lakers, I could get you any number of ads and ad opportunities and marketing opportunities that team, like that like the Spurs and that like the Bucks and the Thunder and basically every team outside of like the Warriors and Knicks can possibly get you. That gives the Lakers a real advantage here. That's why if you want to be a particularly, you know, cynical and Machiavellian Laker fan, you should be rooting for the Clippers to not get punished, because that opens the gateway for Mark Walter and all of the money and all of the opportunities that he has to just wreak havoc on the league. But like the, it, you
yeah,
know,
it's like,
that,
hey, Mark Walter got his really rich friend who does movies to pay Luka a $40 million bonus for appearing as a cameo in The Odyssey 2.
Right. Who would Luka be? Who would be a fun character for Luka to be?
Luka plays one of the Giants. They just don't do CGI. They just actually hire NBA players to stand next to the actors, so they look like that much bigger.
That works for me.
Matt Damon's like, that's like the biggest guy I've ever seen. I can't fight him.
Honestly, like, I miss the yesteryear when that used to be a thing. Like, they used to just bring in giant people, but pre-CGI, and it would be this like practical effect. Andre the Giant, right? But anyway, I don't know. As far as like this conversation and whether I'm comfortable telling a player, like, are you comfortable telling a player to take less?
No. I mean, like, personal, like, I'm going to go to Austin, go up to Austin Reeves's face.
No, and be like, hey, like, I mean, left. Like, arguing on a stupid show like this, like, yeah, no, like,
I get kicked out of summer league for just like running up to Austin being like, you don't understand the second apron penalties. Austin, if you could just listen to me for like 5 minutes, I can make a pitch on how much more help you can get if you just take a little bit less. Okay.
He's like, I just listened to this from Rob and it wasn't very compelling.
Yeah. No, I think I want to circle back because, like you said, what if stars owe us? And I think that is like sort of an interesting framing there because, you know, you could say, like, you know, I'll just use an example that's like not even related to the Lakers so that like no one like sort of is in their feelings about it or like feels a certain way. Like, so if you're Kevin Durant, do you owe the fans anything? Like, not really. You know, you don't owe the fan, like, you don't necessarily, like, you don't have to do anything specific to make people like you or to make people, like, want to follow you from team to team or to make you, someone's favorite player or whatever. But if you don't do those things, don't be surprised, you know, at the end of your career when you're sort of like a man without a country, you know, and that's like an extreme example of this where it's like, you know, you can tell KD sort of grappling with like, wait, why does nobody like me? And it's like, well, you've sort of picked me at every single opportunity, and that's within your right to do that, and you know, and to do those things and to comport yourself that way, but like, you know, and to like talk down to the fans and, you know, tell everyone that they're an idiot all the time and whatever. But it's like, when it comes, like, that's the reason, you know, ultimately, that you're never going to be as beloved as somebody like a Jalen Brunson or like a Steph or whatever, a guy who like just sort of always tries to do the right thing, quote unquote, by his fans and inspires a lot of loyalty in that way. And so, they don't necessarily, it's like Austin this summer, he doesn't owe the fans anything. Like, he I totally understand if he wants to get the most amount of money that he can possibly get, but you know, the reality is that we have to acknowledge the reality. Like, it doesn't become like we're like caping for billionaires or whatever, that we're acknowledging the reality that, hey, if you pay Austin $43 million, like, that's going to make it a lot harder to build a contender around him and Luka. And that's not to say Austin's a bad person if he takes that, or that he shouldn't be agitating for every penny that he can get, but there are rewards and trade-offs for every single decision that you make individually. And like, I think it's just important for us to be able to talk about that honestly on a case-by-case basis. And so, you know, we can say that, you know, hey, like, I, you know, just like, again, like, I wish star player X that plays for my favorite team would have taken a little bit less. And like, that doesn't mean that you don't think that like that person's valuable or that you don't like them or you think that they're a bad person for getting the most money that they possibly could, but you are acknowledging a reality. And again, it's like, you know, the owners, yeah, like, the owners are billionaires who, like, we don't necessarily have like any great allegiance to. Like, I don't have any like super fond feelings towards Mark Walter, and I'm like, man, I'd just like to save that guy some money, you know. But it is it's a reality of the like CBA that these are the things that as fans, like, we are forced to hope sort of for these market inefficiency, and it's the most insidious part of why the owners put it in there. But I also don't want to act like the players, like, we're like asking them to play for poverty wages either. You know, it's like Jalen Brunson is going to be just fine on his, you know, discount deal and be totally happy, and he's going to be a legend in New York forever. And it's like, can you put a price on that? Like, probably not. And so it just depends on what you value. Do you value getting the most possible money that you can up front, or do you value like sort of potentially being like having the upside of, hey, if I do win this championship, like, fans are like, I am going to be fans' guy. Like, they are going to love me forever. Fans are going to build their own statue of me without permits, like, outside MSG before the Knicks are even allowed to, you know. like, it's just you know, like that, that's just sort of the reality. Is like, you can decide what is important to me. Like, is it getting the most possible money or is it being beloved? And those aren't necessarily mutually exclusive, but taking the less money could make the second one a lot more likely because people are going to remember that you did that. They're going to be like, hey, that was not just that Brunson led a, you know, if I'm a Knicks fan, it's not just that Brunson led us to that title, you know, and played amazing during that playoff run, but it's also Brunson is the reason that our starting five is incredible because we were able to pay all these other guys like out the nose to get them all on the same team and still have our like roster building options available to us.
Yeah, it's, you know, the whole concept of like, how will you be remembered and the impact that you have on fans and how you want to be seen by fans and stuff like that. That's this very fickle notion because how fans feel about you is a very fickle thing. Like I'll never forget Lakers fans booing Kobe on opening night after he demanded a trade. And then by the end of that game, chanting MVP for him, you know?
And again, this is maybe controversial, but like, fair enough. If you say, I don't want to be here, fans are allowed to not like that.
Yeah. Well, and like, that's kind of my point here is that like we and athletes can't control how a fan is going to react to every new development over the course of your career.
Yeah.
One of the very, very few things that you can control is something like this, where you're willing to let, you know, where you're willing to do whatever it takes to give your team its best chance at surrounding you with championship caliber talent. That is going to be the thing that all fans always care about first and foremost forever. And then you have to make good on that and actually do the winning when it comes time to do the winning. And that's also a very important factor in how Jalen Brunson is regarded by Knicks fans now. But I look back on somebody who, it's Tom Brady. I hate that I have to. All right. Before I compliment Tom Brady, I'm going to play the most important sound on the show just to make it absolutely clear. Fuck Washington! All right, I feel a little
very bad. Important. I'm glad that you broke the rules of the show to get that out early. I think that was
critical.
Yeah,
people understand my stance on this person, this athlete, in that city. I'm going to do it one more time, just to be extra clear. All right, with that out of the way, Tom Brady is the GOAT, right? He's the greatest quarterback of all time, greatest football player of all time. And I don't think it's really within debate anymore, right? And he took pay cuts while he was in New England to help the New England Patriots continue to build the best roster around him that they possibly could. Now, eventually, the trust eroded there with him in ownership, and the relationship soured between him and Bill Belichick, and he eventually left. And when he left, Boston fans were perfectly within their right to ask, wait, why are you leaving? What is going on here? You know? And finally, after Tom Brady left and he won a Super Bowl somewhere else, thus proving he was the reason they won those championships, New England fans were perfectly within their right, if not objectively correct, to then turn around and look at Bill Belichick sideways and be like, why'd you ruin that for us? Bob Kraft, why did you ruin that for us? He could have done what he just did for Tampa Bay for us. And at the end of the day, the combination of being willing to do whatever it takes to help, you know, the New England Patriots win as much as they won while he was there and also be good enough to come through as frequently as Tom Brady did. That's why so many kids in the greater New England area are named Tom. That's how that's going to play out. That's how you're always going to be remembered for that stuff. And this is part of like the way that the Lakers have been building and them go like leaning so heavily into mercenaries and being so bad at developing players has probably negatively impacted their ability to bring in a superstar who cares about the Lakers, who cares about the city enough to do just that. Right. And so I think it's this twofold thing, but you're absolutely right. You know, when we talk about like what an athlete owes fans, well, same time, fans don't owe athletes anything either.
But I think the important point to make there is that the fans, you know, just like the athletes don't inherently owe fans anything, fans don't inherently owe those athletes anything either. But you can build up that debt. You can make them feel like they owe you for all of those positive memories that you gave them. Mm-hmm. And that is the way, like, that's why Tom Brady, despite sort of the ugly end, is still, like, you know, I'm sure beloved in the New England area. And, you know, it's like you can build up that goodwill through stuff like this to the point where, again, like, this is, you know, a case. I saw a concrete table earlier brought up, you know, Isaiah Thomas and the more recent one. And, you know, like, and the way that that sort of backfired for him, it wasn't necessarily that he was taking a pay cut. He took what the market, you know, deemed him worth at the time. And then he was in line for a big extension. He played through an injury in the playoffs, played through his sister's death, you know, ended up ultimately making his body worse, was never the same player again. And that sort of ruined his career a little bit. But you know who a lot of Celtics fans' favorite player still is? It's Isaiah Thomas, because he went out there and he gutted it out. And he said, no, I'm in this with you guys. Like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to give it my all for you guys. And that's the kind of stuff that inspires that loyalty. And so there are different ways to go about getting that loyalty. Kobe never took a pay cut. But the reason Lakers fans are like ride or die, you know, for him and his legacy is because he gave them a ton of good memories. And so if you make the max you possibly can and you still win, it's not like the fans won't love you anyway, but the fans are going to love you. You're basically upping the odds of getting a positive story and having a positive relationship with the fan base. If you say, no, there's a little bit more than money in this to me. Like, I care about winning championships, and I care about winning championships here. I love this jersey that you all love, and I am going to try and bring us back to prominence. And, you know, there's going to be no replicating that for, you know, exactly for like Luka or any other star with the Lakers. They're just like, there hasn't been that long of a title drought. And so maybe if we get to the 2070s and they still haven't won since 2020, then there's like a Brunson like arc available. And like, but right now that's just not available for any level of Lakers star, but you still can, you know, inspire a ton of loyalty and love from the fans through different means and through, you know, just really like buying into and setting a culture and making it clear, like, okay, no, I am the team captain and everybody is rowing behind me and I'm doing every single thing that I possibly can in every moment to win. And, you know, again, like that's a rep that, you know, Luka doesn't necessarily have yet. And he could still forge that rep, but there is, like, you know, there still are a lot of fan complaints with him and some of the way that he does things on the court and some of the way that he comports himself. And, you know, if you change that stuff, again, that's another way to build up that like fan debt where they feel like they owe you and you are their guy and they're gonna, you know, they're ready to take a bullet for you.
Yeah, it was super interesting over the course of last year because you had Mavericks fans who rightly, you know, like fairly, cared a lot more about Luka Doncic than Lakers fans did. And Mavericks fans looked at Lakers fans like, you spoiled motherfuckers. Like, why? That's our guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, be thankful that you have him. And Lakers fans also correctly are like, he hasn't done shit for us yet.
Yeah, it's like that's not our guy yet. Like, we appreciate him. Yeah, he's good.
We want him to be our guy. Yeah. But, yeah, I think last thing really quick, though, before we move on is does the amount of money that these guys have made impact this conversation for you?
I think it does.
Because
it used to be like
billionaires were really benefiting from the pay cuts that millionaires far below them financially were making.
Yeah, or even like in the case of, you know, like if we go back to the 80s and 90s, it's like the guys weren't even necessarily, I mean, in the 90s, they were millionaires. But I guess like, you know, 70s, 80s, whatever. It's like, you know, if you were like in the 70s, you know, if you were arguing for a guy to take a pay cut, like you're kind of a monster. Like, you know, it's like that they weren't making that much that you're like, you selfish. Like, I don't even think that there was like a cap then. So it's like, you know, you're just
like driving a cab, like in the off season.
Yeah. You're so just like, you're just kind of being an asshole. Like if you're arguing for that guy to like take a pay cut, it's like,
Yeah.
You know, if like there were like, again, I don't, I'm just like making up an example out of thin air, but it, like if there were Celtics fans that were like, how does Bill Russell Dave think Cowens. He's worth that when the teachers make da 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 da? It's like, no, I mean, you're just kind of being an asshole. Like, this does not affect you at all that he's being making this amount of money and, you know, like whatever. Like, you get to the 90s, and again, it's still like the owners are so much richer than the players that it's like, and the money was so much less than it is now. So it's like, you know, you're taking your, it's like, even really like when LeBron was in his prime, like a max contract was like $16 million, you know? Yeah. And so it's like,
which him is taking so a haircut, much less than he was worth at the time.
$16 million a year, I guess I should be clear, not 16 million over the life of the deal. And so like when he took a pay cut off of that in Miami, like that was like a real sacrifice to some degree, even though he had made plenty of money. He's still making plenty of money. You know, he would have been making plenty of money off the court, but those are, it's a different calculation. You know, I feel like a lot of us came up in this era where it's like, oh, you're caping for the owners. Like if you want LeBron to take less, and it's like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of right. You know, it's like Kobe, you know, had every right to take every penny that he was owed because the Lakers were making, you know, that much like tenfold off of him and off of having his farewell tour in their uniform and stuff like that. But now that it's like, okay, like the, you know, it's like, all right, we're not asking you to play for minimum wage. We're asking you to make like 40 instead of 60, you know, there's not going to be any functional difference in your life whatsoever off of that.
Right.
Yeah. It's a slightly different conversation.
And I do want to be clear here because there's a racial aspect to this too, right? Where
that's why, like, I've been arguing monsters for Luka to take a pay cut the whole time. You're not getting me.
That's good job by you. But like there was a long time there where like it's the same reason that those same people were like, oh no, college athletes should never be paid. And it's like, what's actually going on there? And I you know, those same people would be like, oh, these professional athletes are making too much money to play a stupid kids game. It's like, well, what else is going on there? And so like, I think it needs to be pointed out that like for a long time, that aspect of the conversation, when the disparity between owner wealth and player wealth was such a large gap, like that's where I would say siding with the player there made a lot more sense, and being aware of some of the racial undertones and sometimes overtones, you know, that were being brought about in those conversations, that needs to be pointed out. And it's why I'm somewhat uncomfortable still talking about, you know, whether or not players and black athletes should take less for,
and also because they are the product, they're the reason we're watching. It's not the owners, you know, like that's the other thing. It's like, of course they should make the money. Like they're the reason we're watching. It's not because, oh man, like, you know, like the Pacers owner, Herb Simon, like he's just really contributed to creating this league that I just really care about. And I really value like the financial aspects that he's contributed.
Yeah. At the end of the day though, like with this aspect of the conversation, if a NBA player clips this out and says, look at these two white dudes, even though Mexican guy over here, but like, look at these two mostly white guys talking about us making this less money.
75% white panel.
Yeah. It's like Blazing Saddles, not to give away a family secret, but my mother was a Dutch. But like, if an NBA player was to like, you know, single out this episode and be like, see, this is the problem, you know, to a certain extent, it would be like, yeah, I also would be frustrated with that aspect of this conversation over the last however many decades, because they have been treated really poorly at times by the public and stuff. And that does suck. But through those negotiations and through those sacrifices and through growing the league, you have now arrived at a point where Devin Booker's current contract that I think just starts this year is going to be worth north of $60 million, you know? And it's like, would.
And Devin Booker's Devin, like what? Like the 25th best player in the league.
Right. And if Devin Booker had like, you know, and part of the reason that Devin Booker makes that amount of money is so, you know, to because resign in Phoenix after Well, like part of the reason though is that, like, you know, he stayed in Phoenix after they tore down the Kevin Durant Bradley Beal experiment, and he committed to that organization longer term. And fine, like, if that's what you're paying your guy for to stick around for that, then fine. But I also think, and I'd be curious to see if this conversation has taken place very much in Phoenix, but would you be better off just fully embracing a rebuild, trading Devin Booker at that amount of money, and you know, full, you know, taking it on the chin for a couple of years and then bouncing back by the time probably Devin Booker's contract is up? I don't know. And like, I if you're
the reason that they're not arguing for that is because, you know, again, it goes back to the, like, you know, the building up goodwill. Devin Booker is their guy. True. They have watched him grow into a player from a rookie that, like, sort of no one really, like, it was not very heralded. I believe he came off the bench at Kentucky. You know, again, this was not a guy that people expected to be like a superstar, you know, fringe all-star type guy. And he has stayed there. He's talked the entire time about how much he loves Phoenix and wants to stay there. That's how you build up that goodwill bank with the fans. And that's why that, like, no, there are no Suns fans being like, oh man, I can't believe we gave Devin Booker this bad contract. That's like NBA analysts in general that are like, oh, that's like kind of a rough deal. And I don't know where the Suns are going and whatever. But for Suns fans, they're like, no, that's our guy. Like, we're building around him. Like, if he wants to go somewhere eventually, like, we'll send him to a place that he wants to go. And again, it, you know, you flip it with, like, that's how Milwaukee fans would have talked about Giannis for a long time until he started, you know, flirting with leaving every single other year. And now they're kind of like, okay, yeah, I'm kind of over this. Like, you've burnt off a lot of the goodwill that I would have had for your next deal.
Right. And so, like, I guess, like, without diving headfirst fully into these guys' pockets, I just think that at the amounts of money that they're making, and now granted, at the amount of money that they're also generating, that money has to go somewhere. And I'm not arguing for that money to go into owners' pockets. I'm arguing for that money to be spread across the rest of the roster to give superstar X a better chance at winning a championship. And given that Jalen Brunson did just that and won a championship, that is one of the top conversations that is taking that's taking place around the league right now, is like the greatest market inefficiency that we could possibly find right now is a max level player who is willing to think of this thing like Jalen Brunson did. And
you think all the other bad owners are like, man, you know, Dolan had such a bad rap for so long, and like he just got Brunson. Like if I just get a Brunson, like the whole city's gonna love me too. I can flip my whole narrative.
Like the whole time, like Knicks fans were like terrified that Dolan was gonna screw this up. Did you see the report from June Lee today?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No. And it's funny because, like, it's funny to hear Knicks fans, Knicks sources where they're like, Dolan got distracted by the sphere, and that's why we have a good basketball team now, because he wasn't meddling. Because there had been like so many people to be like, that's sort of my theory. And to have like it even in the building, some of the people that he's employing were like, yeah, no, it's kind of good, but like he has that like shiny new toy to play with. He's not coming into my office and being like, are you sure we can trade Cam Reddish?
So this whole time, all that Lakers fans needed to do was for Jeannie Buss to get a hobby. That's it. That's what we needed.
I mean, she tried. None of them were that successful.
That's also true.
She was like trying to finance movies and stuff, and it's like they just didn't do well enough to distract, like getting the Netflix show going. You know, it's just like none of them took off like the sphere has.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been fascinating. I'm looking forward to the comment section on this one, to see where we arrive at here. I mean, I've already been called a libtard once, so I'm surprised, you know, to see that word thrown out here for like showing empathy for the racial discussions over the years. But that said, I also find myself siding in selfishly. It needs to be pointed out that I do better financially when the Lakers do better as an organization. So I probably should have made that as a disclaimer earlier in the episode.
Take a pay cut. Anthony needs the downloads, please.
Look, I'm not going to turn him down.
That's going to be like part of my argument to him at Summer League when I confront him in the back hallways.
Yeah. So it's like,
anymore. They're going to ban me.
Wait, you've gotten credentialed? No, I'm kidding.
Most of the time.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been fascinating.
This is going to blow you away, but NBA people not as bothered by my takes as your takes. Often.
Is it because my grandma was a Dutch?
Do we have any super comments?
No, we don't have any. We're good. I'm going to go and cook dinner for my wife on our anniversary. And because my wife is such a special person, she's allowing my cousins to come over who are in town this week. So, babe, I love you. Absolutely crazy, bonkers week that maybe I'll tell you guys the story at some point. But have a great rest of your day, everybody. Make somebody else's. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Please tell your friends that you love the show. Tell your enemies that you hate it. And until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Harrison Fagan. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.